Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to talk to you, and it's really not a new message, but it's something I think, you know, there's just certain messages you just need to preach them over and over again. It's like every year, and I haven't yet this year, but it seemed like about every year for the last few years, I've done a series on answered prayer. That's not what we're talking about today, but there are certain things that you just have to talk about because we have to have them, we have to be reminded of them. You know, faith is one of those things. A lot of different things, but this morning, and this is maybe a series, you know, I may continue on Wednesday night with this or Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, whatever, but I want to talk to you about the battleground of the mind. Now, the reason I call it that is because it is a battleground. You know, I've had battles in my life. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've had battles with, you know, I've had to fight financial battles. I've had to fight, you know, sickness battles. You know, different battles that come your way. But I've just learned after all these years that The greatest battle is in your mind. If you can win that battle, you've got it made. You've got it made. And I want to just share some things with you this morning, some scriptures this morning, and just talk about the battleground of the mind. And it's real important that you get this. And this is maybe I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but it's real important for us to understand reality is not what we're necessarily thinking. That's not necessarily reality. Now, it may be your reality, but it's not reality. You may allow it to be reality, but we have to understand what we're thinking is not necessarily reality. What God has said about us and about our situations, that's reality. Amen?
Amen.
See, it's important that we understand just because we think something doesn't mean we have to continue to think it, just because it comes into our mind. Amen. And so if you don't learn to win this battle, then it's going to be a problem all the days of your life. And you're not going to have the joy that Dustin talked about because you're not going to have expectation because you're thinking wrong. Amen? Now, let's go here to 2 Timothy. You got it? Go with me to verse number 7. Pretty familiar, but let's read this again. You know, we've read this scripture before. Hey, guess what? I'll read this scripture again. Because it's a good scripture. It says, "For God hath not given us," that's you and me, "the spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind." So God gave us a sound mind, everybody. Amen. Now, what does that mean, a sound mind? Well, let's just talk about a little bit about the sound mind. What's the Lord talking about? He gave us a sound mind. Well, you know, one of the things, this sound mind means disciplined, self-controlled. But, you know, I found out something a few years back that really got me to thinking. When you dig this word out, it's a Greek word, sophronismos. And one of the things it means is safe thinking. I thought that was good. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and safe thinking. God wants our thinking to be safe. You know, there's unsafe thinking. How many know that? You know, like people, bless their heart, people that take their lives. How many know they're not, their thinking is what killed them.
Come on.
Now, you think about that. No pun intended. Think about it. What killed them? It wasn't their circumstances, it's their thinking. Because I can guarantee you that there's somebody else in life that has the same set of circumstances that they have. People always have issues, right? You have things you want. But it's a matter of what you're thinking that's going to determine your outcome there, see? And so, see, sometimes when people have mental health issues, they heavily medicate them. Now, why do they heavily medicate? So they don't think like they were thinking. That they want to change their thinking. If they don't change their thinking, they're a danger to themselves. So they heavily medicate them. And so they don't think the way they've been thinking. They want to alter their thinking patterns. And so, if you understand, life just made of three different things. When you think about it, three things control your destiny: your thoughts, your words, your deeds. You get your thoughts right, and that'll affect your words and your deeds. So your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, if you get all three of those right, you're going to have a good life. So if you just watch what you're thinking, watch what you're saying, and watch what you're doing, you're going to have success in life.
Amen.
Amen. And so one of the things that happens is the devil knows this, and he fights for your thinking, for your mind, to get you to think thoughts that are contrary to what God said about you. If he can get that, then he's got control of your life. And I'm going to show you a scripture that says that much here in just a little bit. But your mind, needs to be a safe place. There's a whole world going on inside your brain, your head. Right? See, you know, I look back, I've been saved now this year. Will be, I forget. This year will be 40 years that I've been serving the Lord at the end of this year. But I look back, I can still remember before I served the Lord, and I look back and I think some of the things that I did, I thought I was not in my right mind. I couldn't have been. I look back and think, how stupid could you be? I came out of the, I was born 1960, so as a child, grew up the 60s, the 70s, the hippie, the drug culture, and all that. So I was involved in the drug culture. And now I look back and I think, man, I must have been really stupid. I mean, I had to be really, I was out of my mind. I'm taking chemicals that people that are making these chemicals, they're not the most integrous people on the planet. How do I know what they put in there? Could it be rat poisoning? You know what I'm saying? And I look back and think, that's, when you come into your right mind, you think different. You look back at that now I think, if knowing what I know now, if I lived that life again, I wouldn't do that because I'd have my right mind. But I didn't have my right mind then. How do you know that? You may think you're in your right mind, but you're doing stuff that is just stupid when you think about it. Some of the things we did were just stupid. And I look back and think, how could I be so stupid? But it's just called you're not in your right mind at the time. You're not thinking right. Your mind's unsafe. You don't have safe thinking. You got to change the way you think. You got to renew your mind with God's word so you think right. You think safe about yourself and about life. Because God knows more about life and you than anybody does. And see, the world's always after your thinking. That's what commercials are all about, to get you to think something. Get you to go after and go buy something. And the whole thing is just to change your thinking, the way you think about things. See, right now, we shouldn't allow, that's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world be the one that's dictating your thinking, how you think about things. Right? Because generally they're wrong. Amen. I mean, just a real look at, well, I don't know. Let's just stay off of that. But, I just thinking, I'm just a fleeting thought about how in the world you could have any rational thinking and think that you're going to help our country that's $27 trillion in debt by going more in debt. Now, how could anybody that's got an intelligent mind think that? You've got to have something wrong with your thinking. Your thinking's got to be screwed up. It has to be. I mean, some of us are getting stimulus checks. We don't need stimulus checks. Yeah. You going to take yours in cash? You doggone right I'm going to. It's my money. And if they're going to give it away, I'm going to receive it. I'm not. But I'm just saying it was a stupid idea on somebody's part. Because most of the people I know around here, if they want a job, they can get a job. Matter of fact, I just heard of a restaurant in town closed down because they can't get anybody to work. Think about it. But yeah, we got politicians that are patting themselves on the back because they're giving you your money. Right. And we think they're wonderful because they're giving us our money. It's like if Pastor Jerry stole my billfold and he gave it back, and I said, let's make him mayor. He gave my billfold back. What a great guy. No, he shouldn't have had it to start with. Well, at least not all of it. This is not a, anti-government, anti-tax message. It's just, let's have some common sense. Amen? So, God's Word tells us all about these things. The Word of God addresses all these issues, all these things. And so what happens is this. If somebody's going to do your thinking for you, either God's going to do your thinking for you or the devil in the world's going to do your thinking for you, but somebody's going to think for you. You think, well, my thoughts are original. You ever had an original thought in your life? You didn't even know how to talk, you dumb thing, when you came into the world. All right. We had to teach you to talk, and after a while, we wish you hadn't done that. Now, see, you had to teach you everything, right? Because you didn't have original thoughts on your own. Somebody had to give them to you. Amen? You come here, you're born in the United States, we teach you how to speak English. You're born in Central America, we teach you how to speak Spanish. But somebody's teaching their thoughts, somebody's teaching what they know. So we have to make sure that the information we're getting is coming from a good source and not a bad source. And so people take their lives because their thinking's unsafe. You understand? It's exactly what Paul told Timothy. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, a disciplined mind, a self-controlled mind, a safe mind, safe thinking, where we're thinking safe about our life and about what God said. Amen. And I love what Dustin was talking about. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances and everything going right. Well, that don't always happen. But joy is connected. David said, God is my exceeding joy. Joy is connected to God. It's not connected to circumstances. And that's his message. But anyway, it's good preaching anyway. You know, listen, we have to understand that our thinking, the way we think, can cause us to be depressed. It can cause us to have joy. Just by changing the way we think about things. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's like I heard one minister say, you know, he was having problems with one of his legs, you know, and he just concentrated on one of his legs. And then it dawned on him, wait a minute, I still got one good leg. My mind's on the bad leg. I got a good leg. Hallelujah. So you have to change your thinking. I'm not talking about positive thinking for positive thinking's sake. I'm talking about word-based thinking. You remember, the years ago, the popular teaching on positive thinking, just think positive thoughts, you know. Positive thoughts, apart from God's Word, are powerless. I mean, they may make you feel a little bit better, but they won't change your life. And I'd rather have positive thinking than negative thinking, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about putting the Word of God inside of you and changing the way you think so that our thinking is safe, so that what we think on, you know, it's not bringing us down, it's building us up. You know, I love the King James Bible. Says this in Matthew 6:25. Jesus said, take no thought. Take no thought. So, and I know, you can translate that. Some translations translate that. Don't be anxious. But what it means is don't take the anxious thought. Don't take the thought. It may come to you, but don't take it. You have a right to reject it. Right? You have a right to say, I'm not taking that. Amen. If I go out to eat today and, I order, let's just say I order chicken wings and they bring me broccoli sprouts. I'm not taking it. I don't have to take that. I was at a restaurant one time. I ordered, I ordered quail. You know, quail's a bird. And they brought me fish. I looked at it, I thought, and I didn't even know. It took me a while to figure out this is not quail. I thought, that's a funny looking quail. Yeah, this doesn't look like quail to me. You know, it didn't take me long to figure that's not quail, that's fish. See, now I did take it. I said, the waitress kind of got upset, not at me, but said she'd made a mistake and all. I said, chill, it's all right. I like fish. I'll eat fish. But, you have to choose what you're going to take, what you're not going to take. Yeah. Amen. See, sometimes we say, I'm not going to take that. Well, you need to learn to say that about some thoughts. I'm not going to take that thought. It may come, but I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to hang on to it. I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm not going to let it reside in my brain. Amen. There's a lot of people that didn't like our last president, President Trump. A lot of people didn't like him. And he's still living rent-free in their heads. They just can't seem to get him out of their mind. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? See, that's their problem. I said, that's their problem. And so, you see, the devil will try to put things, he'll try to store things in your mind. You know how it is when some of your parents, this may not happen to every parent, but I bet it happens to some, when your kids move out, it's like they bring some of their stuff back to store. Sister Deb said, you never get rid of it. So that's a word of wisdom right there. You're stuck with it, all right? Well, the rent free, you know, mom and dad's got more room than we do in our apartment, so it's in, you know, it's in your house. Well, that's the way the devil is. He tries to store things in your mind, and you have to learn to just say, no, I'm not keeping that. That doesn't belong here. Right. Are you with me now? Yeah. I mean, what would you do if your kids came home and said, you know, I got some marijuana here I want to store dad in them? I mean, you're like, no, man, no. You know what I'm saying? Because you could go to jail just as well as they can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know a pastor. Yeah, he was trying to minister to a guy, and he got in the car with him, and they went for a drive, and the guy got pulled over, and the guy had all kinds of pot in his car. So you got to explain, you know, I'm not with him. I'm just a pastor. I'm trying to preach to him, and all. See, and thankfully the police knew this pastor and understood what was going on. But if he'd have got pulled over by policemen, didn't know him, pastor in jail for possession of marijuana. Amen. So we have to understand, see, the devil will try to, he'll try to put things in our mind and get it. And if we allow it to stay, then it'll just stay, but we got to kick it out. If it's robbing us of our joy, if it's robbing us of our peace, I can guarantee you it's not God.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'll tell you some things that even Paul said himself, think on things that are good, that are lovely, that are pure, that are of a good report, that are worthy of praise. Think on those things. So there may be things that might be true in your life, but they're not worthy of your thought life.
Amen.
It might be true, but it's not worthy of your time. Why? Because if we believe God to be our source, as he said, and as we believe God to take care of our care, then we don't need to be carrying those thoughts around. Just cast it over on the Lord and go your way. You say, well, that's easier said than done. It is easier said than done, but it can be done. Amen? So we have to understand, we got to make sure our thinking is safe. Is our thinking healthy for us? We know about, we've been taught, you know, over the last many, many years about what a healthy diet is. You know what a healthy, you know, when I was a kid, we had the food pyramid. Remember that? You know, and as things went along and politics got involved in it, you don't believe that, but some people think I'm making this up, but politics got involved in food. It did. It got, there are a certain group of people, they'll put politics in everything. Everything they touch, they'll ruin it. We'll leave it at that. But anyway, politics got involved in food. You know, I remember when milk was good for you. And then some of the politicians got mad at the Milk Association. They got, now milk is bad for you. The Milk Association made up with the politicians. They kissed and made up. Milk is good for you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe what Paul said. Paul said, every creature of God is good for you if it's received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Everything that God made for us to eat is good for us. Now, we have a lot of things we made, like Oreos. And I've just labeled them as good. I saw them and said, very good. Well, you know, that was not something God made. That's something we made, so take your chances. Right? But if God made it, it's good. That's what the Bible says. Right? Remember Peter saw that sheet of every kind of living thing in it, and he heard a voice said, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, no, I've never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. And the Lord said, don't you call uncommon and unclean what I've cleansed. In other words, the blood of Jesus cleansed all this.
Amen.
He said, now people said, I don't believe that. No, God wouldn't have said this if he didn't mean it. He said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat.
That's right.
He wouldn't have given me bad advice.
That's right.
right? God wouldn't have told him to eat some. No, it wasn't a great sheet filled with Twinkies. It was filled with things that God made. All right, so just like you have to have a safe diet, you have to have a safe thinking. You have to think right. You know, just like I saw in this thing, you know, this guy, he ate 5,000 calories a day for 30 days at McDonald's and got sick. I'm thought, well, you know, where'd you come from? What'd you think would happen? You might survive a McDonald's milk, you know, a couple times a month, but not every day. All right, some of you are looking mean at me like I go there every morning, Pastor, for breakfast. Just pray. All right, says, now, I know, listen, I've gone to McDonald's. I haven't gone there in a long time. But, yeah, you know, I like their double cheeseburgers. I'm not sure what they are, but they're good. Whatever kind of flavoring it is, it's good. You know what? You know? And every once in a while, I'll get that hankering. You know, I got to go through McDonald's. I got to do this. If I don't do this, something bad's going to happen. I've got to go through McDonald's. And so, you know, I'll get a double cheeseburger. And then I'm good for a couple, 3 months or whatever, you know. But, you know, I think your body got enough power to handle that, you know. But, you know, there's things that we have to understand that come to us. We have thoughts that come from different ways. And you have to understand that. If you don't understand that, the devil will defeat you. Not every thought is your thought. See, there's thoughts that come from the devil. There's thoughts that come from just natural life, seeing things. You know, have you ever seen a billboard, you know, and you want to go eat there now because you saw it? Well, they put thoughts in your mind. You weren't even thinking about those tacos or those burritos or those ribs until you saw, or somebody tells you something. You know, somebody told me about a steak one time here in town. Oh, it's the best steak I've ever had. I had to go have it. I had to try it. It was good. Wasn't the best one I ever had, but it was good. Now, to them, it was the best one they ever had. But to me, I was like, oh, yeah, it's good. But, you know, see, they put that thought in my mind. I wasn't thinking that on my own. The devil will put thoughts in your mind and then blame them on you.
That's right.
See, but only the thoughts that you want to hold on to or you want to keep are your thoughts. Amen. The ones that you conjure up and you want to be there.
That's good.
Amen. You have all kinds of thoughts during the day. Some are good, some are bad, some are ugly.
Yes.
But you got to learn to deal with them.
Right.
You got to learn to deal with them. And when the devil starts telling you things like your life isn't worth living, when you start hearing that, that is not your thought. That's the devil. That's the devil. Amen. And he'll try to talk you in things. I don't remember what minister it was, but he said the devil kept telling him over and over and over again, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. He'd hear that thought, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. He said, that went on for a long time. He said, finally it dawned on me. And I said to the devil, if you were going to kill me and you could, you'd already done it. Obviously, you can't do it. You wouldn't just blab about it. You'd do it. So you have to watch it because the devil will keep, he'll keep hounding thoughts in your mind. You know, your life, everybody be better off without you. Your life insurance is paid. Everything's good. Listen, it'd be the worst thing you ever did in your life. Especially if you didn't know Jesus Christ. What if you did know Jesus? Well, that's up to God. As a pastor, I can't stand up here and tell you where you're going to go. Right? You know, I know people get sick in their minds. Brother Hagin used to say this. I always thought this was good. He said, you could get sick in your head just like you get sick in your stomach. You know, so you could have issues with. But, you know, we need to understand, people that take their lives, they're not. It's the devil that did that to them. We blame it on life, bad circumstance, but everybody has that. Amen. Everybody has life happen to them. Is that right? Is there anybody, no hands, don't want to know, but is there anybody in here that hasn't had some financial circumstances at times or challenges? Is there anybody that hadn't had some physical challenges at times, or family challenges, or maybe marriage challenges? Everybody has. But not everybody took their life. And what happened? You came through it, right? You hear about teenagers, bless their hearts, or young kids that take their life because their sweetheart broke up with them. See, they need a good youth group feeding them the Word of God. And letting them know that's not how we respond. Well, how do we respond when our spouse breaks up with us? Well, I'm a little bit different teacher than some people. I would say hasta la vista. Do you know how many females there are on this planet? Probably over 4 billion. There's plenty others. Okay, well, anyway, don't come to me for counseling. It's like hasta la vista. I'm not going to let that get inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Go with me to Proverbs 23. Come on, are you getting something tonight? Amen. This morning? Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. I want to show you this. So you got to control your thought life. You can't just allow. The only reason that if you're depressed today, if you're gloomy today, the only reason that you probably are is because of your thought life. Now we understand. Listen to me. I know temporary circumstances happen, and for a period you may not be happy. You may be sad. You may feel bad because of temporary circumstances. Amen. Your kids move back home. That was a joke, by the way. Anyway, all right. You know, but things do happen in life, right? Maybe a relative passes on. Well, you know, I mean, you're not going to be running around, you know. The joy of the Lord. Come on. You know, I've met weird people like that, but they're just weird. There's a difference between spiritual and weird. Now, you still have the joy of the Lord, don't misunderstand me, but your circumstances aren't that great that day. Right? Are we, because anybody relating to what I'm talking about? See, sometimes I've had circumstances aren't that really that great that day, but don't let that get in your head and control your life. That's just a passing, fleeting thing. And a lot of things that people take their lives over, and I don't know why I'm on this morning, but I'm just on it. A lot of things that people take their lives for, if they just wait just a month or two, it'd all be gone. It'd all be over with anyway. It'd all look different. Right now in the heat of the battle, it looks bad. But you give it some time and some space, and it doesn't look as big as it did look. Man, I've had problems. They look really big, but a little bit of time, a little bit of space, I thought, they weren't all that bad after all. God got me through it. Matter of fact, this will be 40 years serving Him. He's got me through every one of them. Every one of them. Not a one of them defeated me. And I've had some circumstances, some bad circumstances. I've had some circumstances in my life in ministry that people have taken their lives over. I have, but I didn't. I'm not telling you I was you know, swinging from the chandeliers every day. But I still had, like Dustin said, the joy of the Lord, because as long as I held on to my hope, as long as I held on to God, I knew there was a time I'm coming out of this. Amen, I'm coming out of this. I may not come out today, but I'm coming out. So that didn't get a hold of my mind. You know, a minister I know, a good minister, he's in heaven now, he's preached here, but years and years ago, he had a good, thriving, growing television ministry. Things were going good. This was like in the heydays of the Word of Faith movement. Things are going good. And, you know, but his wife was just not on board. His wife was just not on board. And she just wasn't on board with this, and she just wasn't on board with him. One day, she just up and left. Well, he thought it was all over with for him. He thought it was all over with for him. And I mean, you know, he was so depressed. He was so down. He was so beat up. Because, you know, time like that, the body of Christ ought to rally around you and encourage you, not beat you up until you're done with. I mean, he hadn't done anything. And so, you know, Dr. Lester Summerall, how many remember him? He knew him. So, this pastor had told his secretary, anybody calls, I'm not talking to him. All right, you got that? Don't put anybody through to my office. Dr. Summerall calls, and his secretary says, well, he's not taking calls right now. He said, you know who this is? This is Dr. Lester Summerall. Put me through. He got through. I love what Dr. Summerall told him. He said, if you go back, the devil's got you. He said, I'm preaching in California, I think it was. He said, you fly here and you get in these meetings with me and you're going to stay in the same room I'm in and we're going to see you through this.
Amen.
30 years later, man, he's still in the ministry going and blowing. Hallelujah. International ministry going all over the place. But see, somebody took some time to change his thinking. He thought it was over. He thought, I'm done with. Dr. Summerall said, you're not done. Amen. Thank God. Amen. You find Proverbs? Go to Proverbs 23. Let me read one verse here for you. Read it with me if you would. Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now you see, what happens is this. If you think something long enough, it gets down in your heart, becomes a part of your life. If you just keep thinking the wrong things. Now, notice he says, as he thinks, so is he. That's the way he's going to be. What are we saying here? What's Solomon saying? Well, he's simply saying your thoughts set your boundaries in life. What you have in life, it's a result of your thoughts. You know, like you got boundaries on your property. You know, I live on the subdivision. And so, you know, I got a house on this side of me, a house on this side of me, and a house in back of me. Okay, so I can't just go and decide, you know what, that shed of mine is taking up too much room in my yard. I'm going to move it over there. How many know if I do that, I'm going to hear something. I'm going to hear from my neighbor, and if I don't respond to that, I'm probably going to hear from the authorities. The police are probably going to come out there nice and say, hey, would you move your dumb shed? You know what I'm saying? First time they're going to be nice, just move your shed. Come in, because I'm out of my boundaries. But what happens in life, see, our thought life sets our boundaries. How far we're going to go, what we're going to accomplish, what we're going to do, it's based on what we've been thinking. We have to change the way we think to go any further. So your thoughts, some people just have just a small space because they're small thinkers. But if you begin to enlarge your thinking, you know what, like Isaiah prophesied, said, enlarge the place of your dwelling. Enlarge your tent, see. Why don't you start thinking bigger? Well, how do you start thinking bigger? Well, it's not through reading somebody's book. It's through reading God's book.
Amen.
Right? You know, it's not just through reading, you know, self-help books. You know, there's a lot of self-help stuff in the church. And I thank God for positive message, but a lot of it just makes me want to throw up. I'm tired of hearing it. I want to hear what the Word says about me. You know, not, you know, like, well, I won't say that, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of this stuff. It's just, what's that fake pill, you know, they give people? Placebo. It's not really the Word. It's placebo. We need to find out what God said about us. Right? Amen. So your thoughts set your boundaries. Thoughts, words, deeds control the outcome of your life. You can't think any way you want to think without it changing your life.
Amen.
See, Satan knows this principle. That's why he tries to get you to think his thoughts. What's the first thing he tried to do? He tried to change Eve's thoughts about God and what God said. He tried to get her to think his way. And it worked. He deceived her. But you understand, he tries to make you think smaller. He'll always try to get you to go smaller. He'll always try to get you to go smaller. You know, sometimes, I mean, I've been in all kinds of churches over the years, you know, just in our area. I'm talking about tri-state area. I was counting one day, I think, how many churches have I preached in just in this area? I'm talking about, you know, just this tip of Indiana, you know, Kentucky and Illinois. And I thought, I got up to 70-some and lost count. So I've been in a lot of church buildings, and some of them think small. I went in one, and this is not making fun. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just talking about thinking big. Are you with me now? I'm not making fun, because you are where you are, right? You got to change your thinking. But I went in to preach one time, and the floor waved at you. I mean, it did a roller coaster thing. It was bad. I won't tell you where we're at, but it wasn't in Indiana. Hallelujah. And so it's just waving at you, you know. And I remember Phyllis said, I wonder where the prayer room's at. I looked around and said, honey, I don't think this place has a prayer room. And the pastor says, well, as soon as I get my black lung check, we're going to fix things up. See, he, now, you know, bless his heart, he meant well, And I didn't correct him. It wasn't my place to come in and correct him. I'm just coming in to bless him. But I thought, you don't need black lung to fix things up. You need God. Some of you don't know what black lung is, do you? Yeah. Years ago, like our grandparents, worked in the coal mines, and they didn't do anything to protect them, and some of them got what's called black lung, a disease in their lungs, and so the government gave them money. They got a check every month, whatever it was, for their black lung check. Some of them lived off their black lung check. And now you know the rest of the story. All right, that's what black lung. So this pastor says to me, when I get my black lung check, I'm going to fix some of this up. And I'm thinking, you don't need a black lung check. You've got God Almighty. Amen. I didn't see anything where in the Bible that my God shall supply your need according to your black lung check. I mean, thank God for your black lung check. I'm glad you're getting something. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against that. I'm just making a point. See, that's small thinking. Because that black lung check, I can guarantee, was not very big. Right? I mean, the government never gives you anything big. It's always small. Hey! Anybody old enough to get Social Security yet? Notice how magnanimous they were about investing your money all your life? Oh, yeah, yeah. They really did a wonderful job with it. See, if you'd have had it, you'd have had five times as much as that. And then they want to tell you, we don't know if we're going to give you your money or not. We'll just have to see. We don't know. We spent it. What'd you do? Well, you should see the way we remodeled our lounge here at Congress. You did that with mine? Yeah, we built a fence. I don't understand why you can have a fence around the U.S. Capitol, a fence around the Vatican, but you can't have one around the United States. Then you're going to preach to us, tear all your fences down. All right, moving on. Hallelujah. I mean, don't preach to me about a fence if you got a fence. It's like my neighbor. My neighbor on this side's got a fence. My neighbor on that side's got a fence. I got a fence. Now, if either one of these neighbors start talking to me about tearing my fence down, I'm going to say, shut up, tear your own down. What right you got to preach to me about a fence? You got one. Well, that, hallelujah. All right, praise God. That's good preaching anyway. See, there's a life going on in your mind. There's something going on up there all the time, and you need to police it. You need to police it. You know, we live in a safe neighborhood. At least we thought we did. You know, it's a new subdivision. Fairly new. They're still building houses and all. You know, and you know, a few weeks ago, one of the ladies in our subdivision, somebody tried to break in her house while she was there. And people have been stealing stuff, you know, and everything. So now we're noticing the city police are coming through with their lights, you know, about, I wouldn't know this, but Phyllis knows it, 3 o'clock in the morning. And they're looking through the yards, you know, saying and seeing if there's anybody. They're policing it. Why? They want to make sure there's nobody there doing any harm, you know. I just figure you try to get in my house, I'll take care of it. We'll pray for you. We get you saved before you die, you know what I'm saying? Well, you might get some pain, brother. I mean, you know, I'm not with that kind of that, you know? All right, moving on, since that wasn't very pastoral. But anyway, it's like I had a neighbor one time, you know, he was a Jehovah Witness. And no one believed in guns. No, don't believe in guns. Don't believe in violence, don't believe in guns. And I said, what if somebody would try to break into your house and rape your wife? What would you do? He said, I'd trust Jehovah. I said, well, I would too. I said, but I have a gun to help him out. Me and Jehovah, we're a good team. He makes your shoes straight. All right, moving right along. Well, that's what I told him. You know, I wasn't trying to be offensive. But, you know, he brought it up, you know, like, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take care of that sucker myself. Me and Jehovah will handle this, you know. Well, why do you police? Why do you do that? Well, you're patrolling for harm. You're patrolling for people that don't need to be there, people that have wrong motives, people that are going to do wrong things. You have to patrol your thought life because there's thoughts in there that will harm you. You got to kick them out. There's a battleground going on there, and if the devil gets a hold of your mind, he's got you. He's got your victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Did you get anything today? Amen. Hey, I want to look at one last scripture then, since you got something. Mark chapter 5, this is it. Mark chapter 5, and we'll close right here. Thank God for the Word. Mark chapter 5. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 5. Got it? Verse 15. It says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil or the demon. Mark 5:15. They come to, this is a man of Gadara. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. And notice this, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I thought, that's about the way it is today. Those of us that are in our right minds, like a lot of people are afraid of us, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, these people are dangerous. They think right. Well, some of you get that. But anyway, you know, it's like, you got to think weird to be accepted today. I don't think weird. I think normal. Right? And in his right mind. Well, listen, what was this guy's problem? You know, this guy, you know, you read the story behind him. I mean, this guy was a maniac. I mean, you know, they couldn't bind him with fetters or chains. He attacked people that come by. He was a menace to the city. I mean, you couldn't go to Kroger without this guy messing with you. And so Jesus comes along and gets him delivered, and he's in his right mind. What happened? The devil got a hold of his mind.
Amen.
The devil got a hold of his mind. And if he gets a hold of your mind, he'll get a hold of your life. If he can control your thinking, he'll control your life. Now, that doesn't mean you'll end up like this guy necessarily, but it does mean you will enjoy less than what you could of the blessing of God. He'll keep you, right? See, I'm convinced, you know, the devil. See, there's a lot of people that don't believe in some of the benefits that the Bible teaches that we have. Amen. I don't know how you could deny some of the things that we teach that you have benefits. I don't know how you can deny them. They're right there in the Bible. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't take a PhD to figure that out. It's just right there. By whose stripes you were healed. It's right there. But the devil's got people convinced it's not so. Why? He's got a hold of their mind. He's keeping them from having the victory. Now, what do I mean? Do I mean they're demon-possessed? No. I'm just saying in that area, he's inserted his information and they've believed it. They've believed it. I have a friend, Dr. Ingolf Schmidt. He told me this. You know, I know not everybody in our country is perfect. Not everybody. There's a few of us that are, but not everybody. You know, Dustin and I are doing pretty good. And there's a few. But let me just say this to you. I happen to know, listen, I hear how nasty, bad, ugly our country is. I'm thinking, why don't you leave?
That's right.
Did you know we were going to build a fence to keep people from getting in, not from getting out?
Right.
That fence built, that Berlin Wall, my friend, Dr. Schmidt, who's from East Germany, who was there under communism, he told me, he said, the wall was built to keep good people from leaving. That's why it was built. So it wasn't built to keep people from getting in. People didn't want to get in. They wanted to get out. So it was built, right? So the wall that we're talking about, it's not the same thing. Don't let those deceivers and liars deceive you. It's not the same thing. It's to keep undesirable people out. And so he told me, he said, we were brainwashed. He said, every day in school, we were told Americans were bad. They were evil. Capitalism was evil. It was bad. He said, we were taught this every day. We were brainwashed. They believed it because it was the information they were fed. But then, you know, the wall came down and he began to travel and preach, and he came to America and he told me, he said, Americans are the best people I've ever met on the planet. He said, it was totally different than what I thought. And I thought, you know, listen, I hear all this news stuff about how ugly and mean and nasty people are. Well, we got some bad birds in our country, don't misunderstand me. But most Americans are good people. How do I know? I live with them. I bump shoulders with them every day. But the devil will try to sour your mind and take away what you have.
Amen.
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 Thank God that we have the ability to renew our mind. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.